This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Our next guest is a longtime friend of the show. He's also a longtime NBA reporter. He is covering the NBA playoffs for GQ. Joining us this morning on the show is Howard Beck. Howard, good morning.
Damon, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for joining us. Always good to talk to you. How shocking was last night's outcome? Either from A, was it more shocking the Sixers stepped up and played that big in a game five on the road where they have shrunk in recent years, or B, that the Celtics laid such an egg at home in that game?
Wow. The Celtics are such a maddening team, aren't they? And I say this obviously as a completely neutral party, but they are the team that if you were to survey people around the NBA before the playoffs started, I think there'd be pretty strong consensus that the Celtics had the best overall array of talent, the best depth in their roster. And, you know, you can quibble over, you know, everybody's one versus one or their top two versus your top two or whatever. But overall, the most complete roster. And they've got the experience. They went to the finals last year. They made this season all about their mission to get back there. And that they are now down in this series and having lost that badly at home is absolutely a stunner. And, as somebody who was pretty high on them, and I thought they were the favorites to win it all when the postseason began, and certainly once the Bucks were knocked out by Miami, they're going to go down as a colossal disappointment if they let this one get away from them. And, you know, all that said, obviously huge credit to the Sixers. Joel Embiid was just a monster last night, and playing like the MVP that he is, and doing it on a knee that, you know, arguably, and I'm sure medically, would have, you know, needed weeks to heal, and he's just kind of gutted through it, and he's even ditched the brace. Not just a huge performance with the 33 points, but the four blocks, that chase down block late. He was absolutely fantastic. The Celtics have nothing they can do with him.
The best performance of the night from the Sixers was Tyrese Maxey, 30 points. How did the Sixers find this guy at number 21 of the draft? And what type of player is this guy that he has fit in perfectly in the playoffs to become a go-to guy in a team that has both Embiid and Harden?
Yeah, I mean, look, he's been kind of on the rise over the last couple of seasons, you know, where people saw flashes of this coming through. So not an entire surprise, but, you know, like a lot of young players, he's been a little inconsistent at times. But you could see this coming. And, you know, I think it's been interesting. You know, when they got Harden, I think it was, if I'm remembering correctly, when they acquired Harden, it was just as Maxey had started to kind of really pop a little bit. And so there was like some of this, well, how are they going to balance it here with the veteran in Harden and a former MVP and still giving Maxey enough room to grow? And I think that, you know, Doc has handled that well. And I think Harden's handled it really well. One of the things about last night's game that I think really stands out is that, you know, Harden plays 39 minutes, only takes 8 shots. Now, he did go to the line 10 times, but Harden played a pretty measured game, and he's been willing to reel back. He got 10 assists. He's been willing to reel back and give the room for Maxey to shine.
Howard Beck joins us talking about the NBA playoffs. Last night in Game 5 in Denver, goes to the Nuggets, so they have a 3-2 series lead, and it just becomes so apparent the Suns are so dependent on Booker and Kevin Durant, and their bench is really light. Obviously, those two guys are the centerpieces of the team. In the offseason, if they end up getting eliminated here, Do they have space? Can they finagle the roster to create more depth around those two?
It's going to be really tough. It's going to be very, very tough. You've got four guys on big contracts in Durant and Booker, Chris Paul and Ayton. And one of the difficulties of acquiring a Kevin Durant in the middle of a season is that, you know, by definition, you're sending out a bunch of good players to get him. You're depleting your depth, and you don't have any opportunity to really replenish that depth. Now, they did get T.J. Warren back in that deal, and he's played a little bit in the series, you know, got 15 minutes last night. They did pick up Terrence Ross off the buyout market. They tried to plug holes, but when you've made a blockbuster deal in the middle of the season, you usually are leaving yourself with a lot less room for error in terms of your overall depth, and you can't address it meaningfully during the season. You really have to wait till the offseason until there's a draft and and the cap goes up a little and maybe gives you more room and maybe you can make some other deals or sign some guys in free agency. So all the holes that they knew they had from the moment they made the deal, they're going to have to wait to fix. And that has left them in a bit of a predicament during the postseason. You even saw it in the first round. I mean, obviously they rolled the Clippers because the Clippers were all banged up. But even in that series, Monty Williams, it was clear, like, he's just searching for combinations, did not seem to have much trust in anybody on the bench and was playing his stars really long minutes. And that's, you know, that's part of that loss last night, too. It's not just, you know, like, all these things go hand in hand, obviously. But the lack of depth means you have to lean that much harder on your frontline guys. And your frontline guys, especially when they're, you know, Kevin Durant at his age and all the miles, like, he's going to pay a price. And they're at altitude, besides, because they were in Denver. So, you know, not a shocker that they just didn't quite have enough after a great performance, you know, two nights earlier.
Yeah, and it certainly feels like Game 7 would probably follow that same script if they do get back to Denver after Game 6. Howard Beck from GQ, covering the NBA playoffs, joins us this morning here on the show. Elsewhere in the West, this Lakers and Warriors series is 3-1. Do you give a flicker of hope to the Warriors, or is this thing over?
I'm never going to, you know, not believe in the Warriors until they're done. Like, they're kind of the got to put the stake through their heart kind of team. You know, they are the defending champs. They were dominant at home all season. Yes, they had kind of a strange season, especially on the road, and we've seen that again in this series. I'm a little shocked that they're in this position in the first place. But the Lakers are a really good team, obviously. And, you know, neither of these teams are what their record would have suggested at the end of the season. But the Warriors have been dominant at home. You know, I'm never going to count out the team with Steph Curry on it. I think they'll fight their way back into this, and then we'll see if they can win one in L.A.
For the Lakers, what's been the most surprising part of the turnaround since January for you?
I don't know about surprising. I mean, I think the surprise is that they finally decided to fix the roster. Like, again, like the Lakers shouldn't have been this bad in the first place. They started the season with a roster that everybody knew was flawed, that Westbrook was a bad fit, that they didn't have enough depth, they didn't have enough shooting around LeBron and Anthony Davis. And, of course, those guys got hurt for long stretches during the season, too. So the difference between January and now is, in February, they made some trades, and they were willing to give up one of those prized first-round picks that they had been, you know, clinging to so much. And, you know, they got D'Angelo Russell, and they got Rui Hachimura, and they got Jared Vanderbilt, and they created a functional supporting cast, which they did not start the season with. And so the biggest difference is that they just had, you know, they have health, you know, they got their stars healthy, and they have a rotation that actually makes sense. And so they finished the season down the last, whatever, 6-7 weeks of the season. They were one of the top defenses in the NBA. They had one of the best records in the NBA after the All-Star break. And so they're just a different team now than they were in January.
Who do you think the Bucks will settle on to be their head coach? And what did you make of Giannis saying, "I'm tired of the disrespect"?
Can't tell you on the head coach. I'm curious to see what direction they go there. You know, you've got a team that if you're going to run it back, if you're going to re-sign Brooke Lopez, if you're going to, if you know, Middleton could opt out, or if you're re-signing him, you know, then you're expecting to still be a contender. So you really want a seasoned hand, you would think, but they could just elevate Charles Lee. You know, I don't know what direction they're going to go there. The Giannis thing about the disrespect, it seemed like that was in direct response to the all defensive teams being announced yesterday and him not making it. That's fine. We want the superstars to have a chip on their shoulder and feel every slight, because that's what makes the great ones great. And, I think most people's assessments, Giannis had a little bit of a down year by his standards defensively, and that's why he didn't make it. But, you know, he's obviously been having to stew in the aftermath of their failure in the first round, which he didn't call a failure. But I'm sure his emotions are still in a really raw place right now, and so every slight is going to be that much more.
For GQ Sports, Howard Beck covering the NBA playoffs. Follow him on Twitter at Howard Beck. Always great follow during the NBA postseason. Always enjoy having him on the show to provide a little perspective and context to what we are doing around here. A couple of game fives go to the Sixers and the Nuggets last night. Howard, always love catching up, my man. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, Damon. Thanks for having me.
You too. Howard Beck joining us this morning on the show. On Twitter, it's at Howard Beck.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.